This morning's reading is in the Psalm 25, and this is page 568 in the Red Pew Bible there, and it's verses 1 through 10, and we're now working on what's called the lectionary, and the lectionary are those passages from the Bible that are read in churches all around and Christians all around the world today. And so this is something that's a joy, and that there's a power in knowing that there are churches all over the place who are exploring and hearing these words from Psalm 25, as well as several others. And so the connection we have with Body of Christ and also with the greater of Presbyterian Church, as well as with Baptists, Methodist, congregational churches everywhere. So this is exciting. So let's listen to these words. To you, O Lord, I lift up my heart. In you I trust, O my God. Do not let me be put to shame, nor let my enemies triumph over me. No one whose hope is in you will ever be put to shame. But they will be put to shame who are treacherous without excuse. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me. For you are God, my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long. Remember, O Lord, your great mercy and love, for they are from of old. Remember not the sins of my youth and my rebellious ways. According to your love, remember me, for you are good, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord, therefore he instructs sinners in his ways. He guides the humble in what is right and teaches them his way. All the ways of the Lord are loving and faithful for those who keep the demands of his covenant. Well, this morning, we're starting our series on hope. And this morning, it's about hope. And so you'll notice in the psalm that David is battling. You know, this is true in most all the psalms, is that there's this battle going on. There's this up and down sort of roller coaster that David is able to speak out, and it's a great act of faith for him to do that, because otherwise, if he weren't able to speak out those valleys, those places of doubt, of pain, of feeling like he's in the pit of the earth, you know, I mean, he uses very descriptive words to say that he's in the dumps, and then he uses very descriptive words to say and exclaim his faith, I will trust in you, O God. But even in the same sentence, he says, I will trust in you, but don't put me to shame. So it's sort of the two sides of the same coin. And so I want to explore in this way about hope. And in other words, things come in pairs, and sometimes it's helpful to think of the one to be reminded and taught about the other, all right? So, for example, I have twins, you know, Ian and Nathan. They're 6, almost 7 years old, and if you've only met them a handful of times, you need the other one in the room to know which one is which, all right? You won't know whether it's Ian or Nathan unless you see the other one next to you. Even then, you might not know, but at least you have a fighting chance, right? All right. So here we are. I'll say one and you say the other. Batman and? Laverne and? Calvin and? Hobbs. Bert and? Ernie. Bonnie and? Clyde. Adam and? Eve. Brad Pitt and? Wow. You guys are not current.
Let me help you. Let me help you. You guys don't check out at the supermarket market line and look to the left. You look straight ahead. You guys are faithful. Man, that's great. It takes faith to look straight ahead instead of looking to the left at the checkout line. Right? Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie. All right? Brangelina. Tom and Jerry. Bread and butter. Peanut butter and jelly. Sugar and David and beauty and... Okay, there we are. So we have despair and hope. Despair and hope. Despair and hope. And so we don't know hope unless we know despair. How many times have you heard the story of someone who has come to know Jesus for who he is? That is, he's the savior of the universe. But how many times have you heard the story of someone who has this connection because Jesus is the savior of the world, with God and with the church and the world? How many times have you heard the story where they've hit rock bottom? And it's only when they hit rock bottom that they ever say, it's not me. I cannot be my savior. It doesn't work that way. How many times have you ever heard that? How many times have you heard, I've given up. I've given up of me trying to do it. And now I'm going to let God do it. Yeah. Yep. So, despair and hope. And so, we can walk along with hope and light the candle of hope, and we can sing the songs of hope and, come thou long-expected Savior and have a smile on our face and walk home with warm fuzzies and feel even a sense of hope. But the kind of hope that's this hope of a Savior who's born in a manger and who comes into the history of the world. You know, some people doubt that he was ever born. It's amazing how flitty is people's sense of the history of the world, especially with the internet now, is, you know, people can say something on the internet, type it in and put it on their page, and there it is. And so everybody reads it, and there's this growing wariness of historical fact and a growing distrust of what actually happened so many years ago. Some doubt that a man landed on the moon. So you see what I'm saying? And so there's this tendency to stay in the middle and not go to the extremes. In fact, the hope of the world is optimism. The hope of the world in the passage here in Psalms is optimism. It says that, don't let my enemies triumph over me. And what he's saying is that what happens, this is in verse 2, says, do not let me be put to shame, nor let my enemies triumph over me. And what David is saying is that what happens out in the world is there's triumph, but there's loss. And you have the win-loss column. The Ducks, well, they lost one game this year. And they won all the others. How many did they win? 11. Who knows? 11. How many?
11.
11. So they're 11-1. So they had a pretty good season. And we know their record, 11-1, but it wasn't great. They're only in the Fiesta Bowl. They're not in the, you know, the the championship game. So there's David knows this. David knows that we keep track of wins and losses. And we try not to do that, but that's what the world does. Our two boys played their first soccer game yesterday. And the rule is, the idea is that the parents are not supposed to keep score. And, you know, they sent out a memo to all the parents, don't keep score. And they don't have anyone on the sidelines with this, you know, this kind of score thing. So there isn't any scoreboard. But who knows what the score is? Huh? The kids. The kids know what the score was. I know what the score of that game was. I didn't even watch it because I was here. But I know what the score of the game was because, not because Heidi told me, my wife, but because my boys told me. 3-2, they won, all right? So the world keeps score. And the idea is the world is optimistic that there'll be more wins than losses. And not only that, but its optimism is that more and more we're going to win and less we're going to lose. We're going to install a president this term who's going to get for us more wins and less losses. Our economy is going to get better and better, and there's going to be fewer in unemployment. And so the world judges by the wins and the losses, whether things get better or worse. Every 4 years since Ronald Reagan, we hear the question from the challenger, are you better off than you were 4 years ago? Right? Isn't that the question? And it's a fair question to ask, but it's a question of the world. And the hope of the world is that we get better and better off every year. And we draw closer to that perfect season of life. But David knows better. He says, my trust is not going to be in winning, that I'm going to go out there and knock off every kid on the block, every bully that comes along, every nation that comes to attack. He says, my trust is in you. I lift up my soul to you, O God. Let that be the way that I have hope. Now, the temptation for us is to say that, all right, so the message of today's sermon is to walk away with hope and not with despair. All right? Just focus on the hope and forget the despair. But in truth, there's much despair in the world. And let's take a look at some of that despair. And this is the world of despair that God is calling us into. It's even among our congregation. And so let's take a look. So, for Adam and Eve, despair is Adam and Eve reaching for the apple because the serpent said it was there. And the serpent deceived them that if they eat from the apple, that they will have unlimited hope. They will be like gods. And Adam and Eve took the apple. They were looking for a hope, an easy way out. And they grabbed it. Hope is God wandering through the Garden of Eden, looking for them, saying, where are you? Now, does God know where they are? Yeah, sure, God knows where they are, but God is looking for them and calling out, is reaching out for them. And this is hope. Despair is a woman who only has 2 coins, among others who have many and much. Hope is a woman who only has 2 coins, who walks up to the foot of the priest and drops them in the offering plate for the glory of God. And our risen Savior watching and celebrating that she's doing this. He's not despairing that she only had two coins and now she has none. He's celebrating that she gave it all for him. Despair is a woman suffering from a bleeding cancer stuck in her home because society says that's where she has to stay. That she's unclean and she has to stay apart. That her house is unclean and that anyone who enters is unclean. And a woman, though a member of the congregation, is stuck at her house. Hope is a woman in faith stepping out the door, walking through the throngs of people gathered around their Savior, hoping she won't be seen or noticed in the excitement of his presence, crawling between their legs and between their bodies, angling to get to his garment. Hope is a Savior, knowing that he'd been touched and healing. Despair is a foreign woman whose daughter is dying, who approaches the Savior and says, "Lord, heal my daughter. She's dying." And members of the church, the disciples, looking down their noses at the woman, trying to keep her away. And Jesus, knowing this and testing them, even looks at them as he says, "Woman, I've come only for the lost sheep of Israel." And echoing the church's own staunch stand against anyone else, "He's ours, he's not yours." Hope is the Savior showing them the impact of their own attitude toward the foreigner woman who'd come for help and healing. Despair is the woman hearing from Jesus that he'd only come for the lost sheep of Israel. Hope is the woman crying out and persisting, "Yes, Lord, but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the table of the master." Hope is the Lord saying, "Great is your faith. Be healed." It is to such as these that belongs the kingdom of God. Despair is the leader of the church, Peter, warming himself by the fire of a crowd of people he'd not known well. And his leader, bound and shackled, bleeding with a thorn, a crown of thorns on its head, being accused of great crimes. And Peter denying him, not once, not twice, but three times. Hope is that after he died, our Savior showed up on the shores and talking with Peter alone, asked him, not once, but three times, for every time he was denied,
by Peter.
Do you love me? Feed my sheep. Hope is Peter proclaiming boldly, healed and whole from his denials, bringing 3,000 through the working of the Holy Spirit to baptism with a bond and reconciliation once and for all with their God and ours. Despair is a church that judges the world and even its own brothers and sisters. Causing great pain in our Savior. Who'd said many times that he would be the judge. Hope is that he died on the cross. That despite our own sins, we're reconciled once again. When we say, Lord, forgive us our sins of judging others. Forgive us our sin of judging ourselves unworthy. For you died that we have worth and life. At work, in our homes, in whatever way we volunteer, maybe with the church. Despair is not being able to love someone who's unlovable, who can't seem to correct her ways, but tries. And yet the church shuns the unlovable. To the point where the unlovables leave to find another place and search for a love that heals all wounds. Hope. It's a church that says, oh God, we've fallen short. We've not loved the unlovable. And we know, we trust that you will redeem us, that we still have the hope. That it's not optimism, it's sure and certain. It's not the optimism of the world that hopes for fewer losses and more wins. It's the hope that is sure and certain that Christ redeems us, that he'll use us in our weakness, that we'll learn through his wisdom and spirit, a new way. That like the wounds in his hands and his sides, the wounds in our hands and our sides and heart, will redeem, will bring hope and life to ourselves and a world that hurts. But hope? Do we have a hope? Yeah, we do. Do we have a hope? Do we? Yeah. Do we love our Lord? Yeah. Do we love our Lord? Yeah. Feed our sheep. Do we love him? Yeah. Bring hope Do we love? Bring hope.